glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, March 2nd, 2023. I'm your host, Donna Leland. Everyone has a story. We're all placed on planet Earth, in locations with people who help shape who we are. Even those who don't understand us can be used by God to help chart our path. Today we hear from Miriam Brooks, a faithful listener, who will give us a glimpse into God's unique working in her life.
When I was 4 or 5, it was before I ever went to school, one summer afternoon, I was laying under my favorite tree with my wonderful dog, who was part collie, part German shepherd. He was white all over except for a brown mask and a brown spot by his tail. And we called him Purdy because he was a purdy dog. He was my very best friend. He was the one that I could talk to. My mother was sick. She had a hole in her heart and an extra valve, and they were giving her medicine for malaria, and it wasn't malaria. It was this heart problem that she was born with. So she didn't have time to talk because the medicine wiped her out most of the time. I was scared of my dad. He was angry a lot of the time because he was frustrated, thinking that he wasn't doing a good enough job to take care of us. I was laying under the tree, watching the puffy clouds go by, beautiful, beautiful white puffy clouds in the blue sky. I asked my dog, "Is there any good reason for me to be here? Why am I here? I need to know why I'm here." I thought about it and talked to my dog and petted my dog, and finally came to the conclusion that my mother loved me, my grandparents loved me, and so that took care of my need for a while. It gave me purpose to love them and to be loved by them. And I was loved supremely, absolutely supremely. My grandfather would carry me around and brag on me and show me off everywhere we went. I was the princess. I didn't really feel that way because inside I felt like I wasn't really good enough. When I went to school, I found out I wasn't good enough. They didn't do learning disabilities training and testing when I was a kid, but I wasn't learning what everybody needed me to learn. I struggled with reading. I struggled with math. I struggled with everything. And I struggled with other people because they didn't know I was the princess. It was really, really frustrating that they didn't know who I was. It's not that I didn't think that I was worthy. They just didn't know I was. And that increased my insecurity about not being able to learn. Finally, my dad said to me, "The letters have sounds. The sounds go together to make words." I said, "Well, why didn't somebody tell me that?" Because they were just teaching you to look at the words and say them and get used to them. Didn't work for me because everything got jumbled up. So I had to figure phonics out for myself. Nobody realized that I needed to know these things. And I didn't know how to ask for it because I didn't know what I didn't know. Then came fourth grade. I had a teacher that was wonderful, magnificent, loving, kind. Everybody lined up on the way out to hug her goodbye every day. I was there a month and we moved again. And I got a teacher who did not care, who hassled me, who made me feel really stupid. She didn't care about me. I don't know if she cared about anybody else, but she sure didn't care about me. She was very pretty, very talented, but she was into herself, and I needed help. And I started searching again for my purpose. Why am I here? Is there any good reason besides that I've got three people that love me?
We should never underestimate the power of youth outreach in our local churches. In Miriam's life, it was the beginning of her quest to find the meaning for her life and a place that the Lord was going to begin to reveal himself to her in a powerful way.
A nice person from church offered to come and get my brother and me and take us to church. And I blossomed there. I didn't realize that I was being a leader, but I was. I led the singing, I led the little phrases that we said, and thought nothing of it. It wasn't something that I thought was out of the ordinary. I thought, well, it was a job that needed to be done, so I just did it. But these people kept coming and getting me, and coming and getting me, and coming and getting me. And one night at church, the other kids were going to pray for salvation, and I went with them. And then when I got home, I thought, huh, what did I do? And is this real? And because I wasn't sure. It was a hard time because I wanted to know what was real. I didn't want to know what people told me. I wanted to know what really, really was true. True, not because of circumstances, but absolute, total truth that's truth at all times. So I started being really bad to see what God would do. And he protected me. He kept me out of trouble. I never once got in trouble for all those terrible things that I did. And it was a little confusing because I thought, if God's God, I mean, he should be punishing me. But that's not what it did. He loved me. He took care of me. He kept me out of trouble. He helped me to put one foot in front of the other and just keep moving on. I kept going to church, learning, 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 asking questions that nobody else could answer. I kept asking people, what does blessed are the poor in spirit mean? And I got little surface answers, nothing that really meant anything. And I was frustrated because I thought, they don't know any more than I do. Maybe not as much. And I still didn't think I was smart. I still thought I was stupid because I couldn't do what other people could do. I also developed a very strong sense of protection of those weaker than I. When other kids would be mean to kids that were not as smart or not as talented, I'd beat them up. Because that's what I thought was right. I wanted to protect those that were worse off than I. It didn't give me great joy to do that. It gave me satisfaction to know that they were going to leave those poor little kids alone. Other kids would come to me for help. I didn't realize they were coming to me for help. They just did. This was the beginning of, you know, God was growing things in me that have been in me all my life now. I just kept asking, kept wondering what was real. I think I was probably maybe sixth grade that I was beginning to get enough information to make decisions toward Jesus, but not enough, because people didn't tell me it's all or nothing at all. So I just kept looking. When I was a sophomore in high school, my Sunday school teacher said, I'll make fried pies, you all sell them, and you can all go to camp. She was famous for making fried pies. All over town, people knew Lillian Norman's fried pies. So we saved our money during the school year for the materials to make the fried pies with. She made them, we sold them, and we all went to camp. It was wonderful. I don't like camp. I don't like outside, but I loved being with the people. The people made bugs and heat and stuff worth it. had great counselors, great teachers. They loved us, and it was obvious they loved us. And you see, all of my life, I've known that love is the key. You know, back when I was in fourth grade, love was the key. And love just kept proving itself over and over that it's the key. Well, I went through another time of questioning because school was telling us crazy things like evolution and stuff like that. And so I thought, well, to be honest and to be fair, I need to give it its chance. So I kind of gave it its chance and it just didn't make any sense. I just kept bouncing around. And then there was this teacher named Gila Riley at the junior college. And she started taking me to church with her. She would drive 5 miles to my house and 5 miles back to town. 10 miles twice on Sundays and once on Wednesdays. She put her life on the line for me because she didn't have to do that. And I was learning more and more all the time.
And just as the Ethiopian official, after receiving Christ as his Savior, responded with a desire for baptism from Philip. Well, Miriam as well found herself requesting to be baptized at a very unusual hour.
Finally, one night I said, Gila, I need to talk to you. This was after church on Sunday night. I said, I need to talk to you. I need to get this straight. I need to know what's true, what's real. So she let me talk and let me talk and let me talk. And at midnight, I said, I need to be baptized. We woke up the preacher, went to the church, and I was baptized at midnight. Woke up the next morning, and there was the strangest understanding that came over me. There was no more fear in me. All fear was gone. I wasn't afraid of not being good enough. I wasn't afraid of what I couldn't do. I wasn't afraid because I knew that he was in control, that Jesus, that my life was truly in his hands. I can be startled, but I can't maintain fear because Jesus' love just washes it out and keeps washing it out. It's not just a one and done. It's a continuous action. I've made a lot of mistakes, and, you know, there are consequences to mistakes, but never once has there been an absence of the Lord and his power of love. The joy was not one of those jumping up and down joys. It was a joy all over that gave confidence and peace and above all, love.
Miriam would have a chance to live out 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God.
I took a year off from college after I graduated from the junior college because I had no idea what I was going to do. And I spent a year praying every day, Lord, what do you want me to do so that I can win the most number of souls to you? One of the ladies from the church got me a job at Petersburg in the elementary school library as a library helper. I liked libraries. I'd worked in libraries. That was a great place. I loved being in a library. One day, the librarian was not there. She was sick. And the teacher with the kids who had great learning problems, she brought 5 of these wild, crazy little kids to me. It was their library time, and she needed to go to the bathroom. She needed to get a cup of coffee. She needed to put her feet up. She needed a rest from these crazy kids. So I got them to come in, and it was a miracle they sat down. And it was truly a miracle that they sat down. One little boy didn't have the middle finger and the ring finger from the knuckle, first knuckle up, on his hand because rats had chewed him off when he was a baby. And this kid left footprints on the ceiling. He was really wild. The others were just about as wild. Anyway, here they were, sitting down. I was amazed. And then I did a lesson that the librarian did with the kids, and they were participating, they were learning. It was amazing. And I heard a voice in my head say, "This is what you do well, do it." So that was when I found out that I was designed to be a teacher. It wasn't my choice. I would have never wanted to be a teacher. I didn't even like kids. But as soon as he put me on the right path, then I liked kids, loved kids. And he's made it so exciting to be with children. He got me through the last 2 years of college. I took a course in world religions, and I saw the emptiness of other religions. Nothing compared to Christianity. There was nothing real about them, no truth in them, except what's general truth that everybody knows. But it strengthened my faith. When I graduated from the four-year college, I started putting applications in, when I did my student teaching. This was a trip. The lady that I did my student teaching under told me that I was going to be the last student teacher she ever had because so many of them had been so bad. And then she told me, "You have restored my understanding of student teachers. You are good." And she told a principal that lived behind her that he should hire me. There were 50 applicants for every job, and God made sure I got one.
I think through Miriam's story, we can see that God is able to work all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Our purpose, first of all, is to be loved by God and to love him back. As people filled with his Spirit, we then move out and fulfill the purpose God has for our lives. I want to thank Miriam Brooks for sharing her story with us and encouraging us that God can make a way when there seems to be no way.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God, hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way.
Let's sing it together.
Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way. Love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way.
Listen.
By a roadway in the wilderness, he'll lead me.
Rivers in the desert.
Rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain, and he will do something new today.
Strength for each new day. might be here tonight. You may think God has forgotten you about your situation, but he hasn't. The Bible says that we are inscribed on the palm of his hand. And heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will remain forever. And he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think tonight. Amen. Let's sing it.
Oh, God will make a way.
Yes, he will.
Where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way.
Love and strength,
with love and strength, for each new day, he will make a way, he will make a way. With love and strength, for each new day, he will make a way.
Thanks for listening to Mark and Friends, a ministry of Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations. Tune in tomorrow. Mark's special guest is Jason Schiffo, and they're going to sit down and think about God's Word, and you're invited to join the Bible study. It's Mark and Friends, 7:32 a.m. and p.m., and also 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our great Indiana listeners. Have a great day.